Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for taking time to be on the call today. As you know, we will be discussing the announcement from the Department of Labor last night that Secretary Solis will be withdrawing the agency's proposed rules related to youth working on agricultural operations. We're honored to have Congressman Denny Rehberg of Montana on the call with us today. Congressman Rehberg has been very active on this issue, and we appreciate all of his work as well as his willingness to join us on the call. And again, his name is Denny Rehberg, D-E-N-N-Y-R-E-H-B-E-R-G. We also have NCBA President J.D. Alexander on the line. J.D. is a cattleman from Pilger, Nebraska. J.D. Alexander, A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R. We will be recording the call, but if you have any follow-up questions or would like a copy of the audio, please contact me at M. Geiger, M-G-E-I-G-E-R, at beef.org, or Mike Deering at M-D-E-E-R-I-N-G, at beef.org. With that, I'll turn it over to Congressman Rehberg.
Thank you very much, and I want to welcome everybody that's on the call. In the notification that came out from the Obama administration that they were going to withdraw the regulation request and not reintroduce it during the remainder of the Obama administration, they referred to a number of rural stakeholders like Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, FFA, and 4-H. But frankly, the people I worked with as much as anyone or more were the National Cattlemen and the Montana Stock Growers. This regulation didn't make any sense, and I just want to thank the National Cattlemen for their involvement in bringing the issue to the attention of the American people and the national media. It really took a joint effort. Frankly, the Secretary of Labor, who comes from Los Angeles, did not understand the issue. And initially, when we started questioning I can't say it any other way, but the intelligence or the common sense value of a regulation like this, it was falling on deaf ears. There is, frankly, a disconnect between not necessarily Republicans versus Democrats or red state versus blue state, but one of the things you notice more than anything that's going on in Washington, D.C., is the canyon that is developing between urban and rural. When you have a president from Chicago and a secretary from Los Angeles involving themselves in an agricultural issue and not having initially discussed the issue with anybody from the Department of Agriculture in Washington, it became very apparent that there was a disconnect, and therein lies a lot of the problems that happened in Washington, D.C. I want to thank Secretary Solis, but more importantly, I want to thank the Obama administration for withdrawing this regulation because it didn't make sense. I mean, to have no one under the age of 16 allowed to work with animals in a corral having to do with branding and castrating and vaccinating. Kids under 16 can't get on a ladder taller than 6 feet. I can go on down the list of things that made this ridiculous. I questioned the secretary on numerous occasions in my own subcommittee that has jurisdiction over this issue, and I even attended a small business subcommittee meeting where I questioned the person from the Department of Labor that was involved with this. I asked questions like, well, can my neighbor's kid jump on a horse and come out and herd cattle to bring them into the corrals to be branded in the season? And there was a big question mark, a look of confusion on their faces. They didn't know. In fact, in one instance, they gave the wrong answer. And I had to go back and show them in the regulation where it said that they could not get on a horse and help gather cattle. I asked a number of other questions specific to my own operation, how I've raised my kid, and frankly, it was offensive to FFA and 4-H, who do everything they possibly can to help raise or educate and inform the next generation of agricultural producers that they were not going to be able to involve themselves in enterprises that their parents didn't own. Initially, it wasn't even going to work for operations where the parents owned partial ownership, where they were buying it from their parents, their grandparents, their aunt and uncle. If they didn't have 100% ownership, they weren't going to be able to work on the place. And the administration was reasonable enough to reintroduce the regulation with a change, changing that portion, but still didn't make sense. And so I just got to say the administration made the right decision. I'm sorry it took the pressure of the national media and the national organizations like the Cattlemen to get the administration to recognize that this was a mistake. It made no common sense. Therein lies one of the questions. Is it done for political purposes because there was a backlash nationally and we're moving into an election year? So, taking a phrase from Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. I have every intention as the chairman of the Department of Labor's budget to have a rider in my legislation that I write that says no money will be spent on the implementation, promulgation, or enforcement of, and I'll put this regulation in there just to make sure as it goes through the process that the Senate doesn't decide to push the administration into moving forward with this regulation and that this administration does not move forward within this fiscal year. I have that authority, I have that ability, and I have every intention to do it as I had suggested in the small business subcommittee meeting. And when I questioned Secretary Solis as she appeared before my committee presenting her budget for the year. So trust but verify, there will still be protections built into the appropriations bill, but I'll give the administration credit for having made the right decision in withdrawing this regulation proposal. This time, let me turn it over to J.D. And J.D., thank you. I really appreciate working with you guys. As I told you, I do a lot of business, or I used to do a lot of business, feeding cattle down in Nebraska, both in St. Labore and Grand Island. It's great to work with you guys. I just got to ask you a question. Do you have a ponytail?
No, I don't, but I've been informed that I should try to
The inside joke is last year's president of the NCBA was Bill Donald from Melville, Montana, a good friend of mine, and people look at him and go, whoa, that's different. We don't get many National Cattle Association presidents with ponytails and cowboy hats, but he was a great president. We're pretty proud of Bill, and we think you're doing a great job as well, so maybe you ought to consider doing that.
Well, thank you, and I guess I would start off by saying good afternoon to everyone as well. First and foremost, I want to thank you, Congressman Rehberg, and really all of members of Congress who rallied with the America's farm and ranch families to really educate the Department of Labor about the consequences of this proposed rule. As the Department of Labor acknowledged in their announcement yesterday, this pullback of the youth labor rule was a response to the literally thousands of comments received by the agency from farm and ranch families, rural communities, consumers, and anyone truly interested in preparing the next generation of agriculturalists to produce more food for more people. This isn't just farmers and ranchers. This is scientists, retailers, and on down the line. This rule would have discouraged young people from becoming interested, engaged, and passionate about any part of this very broad, diverse industry that we call agriculture. I firmly believe agriculture is the single most important industry to sustaining life on this planet, period. This administration preaches about the need to repopulate rural America. This can only be done by encouraging the next generation to work on farms and ranches. It cannot be done by promulgating regulation after regulation because this ultimately sends a signal that agriculture is not important to this administration. We are thankful they realized and acknowledged their mistake and pulled back this regulation. This is not the first time crazy regulations, though, have been proposed and then pulled back once the consequences were fully understood. The best example of this is the Department of Transportation when they were essentially attempting to require every farmer and rancher to have a commercial driver's license. They eventually pulled that back when they realized just how ridiculous this rule was. You know, common sense is not too much to ask for. Why must we continue spending time and resources pushing back on this regulatory rampage? You know, I sincerely encourage these agency officials to venture off the city sidewalks of Washington, D.C., and get out to these farms and ranches and learn about where their food comes from. You know, this would go a long ways in preventing unnecessary job-stifling regulations in rural America. Once again, we appreciate the Department of Labor for pulling back this regulation, but let's focus on preventing this from ever becoming an issue again. I urge this administration to talk to farmers and ranchers before throwing yet another regulation our way. And once again, thank you, Congressman, for your help.
You bet, J.D. Harry. We'll open up to questions from the media.
And the first question is from the line of Cindy Zimmerman with AdWired.com. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you for holding this conference call. Congressman, you mentioned that you felt that this law was offensive to members of FFA and 4-H, and that was one thing. One question I had, and you said you asked these regulators questions about how the law might affect certain things, certain activities, and I was wondering how it might have affected kids that were in 4-H and FFA from showing cattle and livestock.
You bet. First of all, and thank you for the question, FFA has many members that their parents do not own the property, but they're interested in working on the property to gain a knowledge and, frankly, a head start on maybe entering into the agricultural profession. And so they would have fallen under the category or the regulation as it pertained to being paid for, you know, coming on and helping because they weren't working for their parents. The second area that was offensive to them was the safety training, that there's a lot of training that goes on with FFA and 4-H, and that was going to be replaced with a requirement, a recommendation that the safety training occur within the Department of Labor. And so I just have to tell you, as a father, I'm fifth generation, and I actually was lucky enough to grow up with my great-grandfather, who was born in 1873, lived a long life. We were on the ranch, and as he aged, all he wanted to do was stay on the ranch. And my dad, who was his grandson, moved up to the ranch. We were in the small house. They were in the big house. I had an opportunity to learn and grow under my great-grandfather. My grandfather was in the dairy business, but unfortunately he died before I was born. And there are many different ways to learn agriculture and its future. And frankly, it's offensive to think that somebody from the Department of Labor, not the Department of Agriculture, but the Department of Labor, thinks that parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents don't care more about the safety of their children or the people that live next to them or are friends and are willing to help out with branding or herding, don't know or don't want to keep these kids safe. And that's frankly offensive to us, as people who grew up in this lifestyle, people who are in the lifestyle trying to pass the knowledge on to the next generation, and that's why FFA and the 4-H were very much against this regulation.
If I could follow up, I was curious as to, I mean, you've indicated, of course, you want to make sure that this doesn't come back up again, which, you know, I guess we have to do what we can, but where did this come from? Who was behind this? Where was this push coming from?
I don't think I can answer that question. I assume, you know, the first words that crop into your mind are urban do-gooders, but I don't know if that's necessarily either appropriate or correct. But I got to tell you that we all are concerned about injuries and or death in the agriculture community. We do everything we possibly can to have a safe work environment. But frankly, life isn't risk-free. And so it's incumbent upon us to do the best job we possibly can to have a safe work environment or a safe existence. One of the things that I can tell you, being the chairman of this appropriations subcommittee, as I talk to people, whether it's in small business or in mine safety, which is MSHA, mine health safety, and I have the responsibility of those two areas, I hear, and these are not just stories, it's a fact, that this administration is moving away from the encouragement and creating incentives for a safe work environment to one of a punishment-based enforcement. And so, you know, I can give you examples if you want. I can put them all together, but I met with a mine up in northwest Montana and said we had a committee for mine safety that was a memorandum of understanding between MSHA and our mine, and when the new administration took over, they canceled that memorandum of understanding, and it's become more punishment-based. We're looking for violations and fines than it was in trying to create incentives for a safer work environment. So I think there's a fundamental philosophical difference between this administration and the last administration when it comes to the approach of creating a more safe work environment, one of trying to create incentives to one of creating a punishment.
We have a question from the line of Christy Foster with Farm and Dairy. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. I was just wondering, what prompted the Department of Labor to change their position? Like, why now? Like, was it just the comments, or was there something more behind them making the decision?
J.D., do you want to answer that question from the country, or do you want me to answer it?
Well, I guess maybe we can both do it. I would be speculating, but I do know that in my travels across the nation, and I go somewhere about every week to speak to various cattlemen in different states and at different levels of the cattle industry as well, not only ranchers and farmers, but cattle feedlots, et cetera. And at every one of these, people were asking me, what is this all about? And it just is totally not understandable. And it really got under the skin of a lot of people because, you know, this is rural America. If you want to repopulate rural America, you've got to have a reason to have these people come back and live here and make a good living and ultimately producing the food for the world. So I think really one of the big things was there was a rallying cry along the lines of agriculture in general that really said this is totally uncalled for. It actually goes against the rural population. The one thing that I think it really got under them as well is the fact that there's one thing that that most people look at when they're looking for jobs. If they're from growing up in a rural community, a rural job setting, they are going to be the ones that really have earned their way and have had to do a little work to get ahead. So I really think it was a groundswell of people that really were just sending a message that this is totally uncalled for and if anything, totally opposite of the way it should be. If anything, the city people should be.
I would agree. There's the dog and there's the tail. And the best way that you get the attention of the dog is if the tail is wagging. And there was a lot of wagging in the National Cattlemen, in Montana Stock Growers case. The various agricultural organizations were writing about it, they were talking about it, but the bottom line is common sense. And I'll tell you, having been in elected office long enough, the worst thing that Congress, a state legislature, a governor, a county commissioner can do is promote something that's stupid, that becomes a joke, that people don't respect, that, you know, you can go ahead and pass a law, but if it doesn't make sense to the American senses, if it doesn't have a certain common sense to it, then how are you going to enforce something that's stupid? And the American agricultural community recognized that to not expect a 15-year-old guy on a ranch in Nebraska is not going to climb on a ladder taller than 6 feet because the Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. says you're not supposed to? Come on. That just doesn't make sense. And so, you know, frankly, the American people are not stupid. But sometimes bureaucrats or even Congress or even presidents can pass something that, frankly, doesn't make sense. And so initially we started seeing the conversation occurring out in the hinterland, America, the breadbasket. Next thing you know, Daily Caller reported on it. It ended up on Drudge. Fox News picked it up. These things don't happen on issues that don't matter. They happen on issues that matter or don't make sense. And this is one of those that mattered and doesn't make sense. So that's kind of how it all occurred, I think.
We have a question from the line of Justin France with Flag Beacon. Please go ahead.
Hi, I know this was only announced yesterday, but I was just wondering if, I guess, what the reaction has been from your constituents back in Montana about this rule being repealed or overturned.
JD, you want to start?
Yeah, I'll answer it. I will not speak for Montana because, I mean, I've heard from fellow ranchers and cattlemen up there, which they're very supportive of and glad to see this. But I will tell you, I've heard from a lot of people around that just said that, you know, I mean, once it kind of word spread like wildfire that finally a little reasoning took into place. So most people are very encouraged and happy to see that it was turned over because just how ridiculous it was. So I would say across the nation you're seeing very relieved and happy agriculture world today.
Very seldom do congressmen and women act like a basketball game, but I'm telling you, there were high fives on the House floor when I showed them the announcement on my BlackBerry that the Department of Labor had come to their senses and were going to announce within a matter of hours that they were going to withdraw. I immediately tweeted it, and I'm a rancher, but I actually tweet, and I'm on Facebook. And I can tell you that within a matter of moments, if you want to check my Twitter account, there were 100 retweets that occurred very quickly from Congress. Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota was one of the first, but Scott Tipton from Colorado and Cynthia Lummis from Wyoming. And we were just, this is kind of one of those things where it's like the good guys win one. And so if you saw my Facebook, it lit up from comments from Montana. That's kind of how the 24-second, not the 24-hour news happens, but the 24-second, immediately upon my putting that on a tweet, it was starting to be retweeted around the country. And that's when you know you've caught people's attention, when they use the electronic media to communicate as quickly as possible. So this went through America very quickly once the announcement occurred. And I got to tell you, we were pretty excited. I apologize. I do one of those where I go home every weekend. I'm on a plane to Montana just as quick as I can possibly get back there. I'm lucky because my ranch is next to the Billings Airport, so I'm about 3 minutes from the terminal, but it takes me a long time to get home. And, of course, we're back always on the following Monday. But I'm going to call myself off of this call and go jump on an airplane. So I want to thank you for allowing me to join in. I'll turn it over to J.D. if you want to continue answering questions. But I'm going to go catch an airplane and see my family.
Well, safe travels, Congressman. Once again, thank you. And I might
thank
add,
you.
Just for information, I heard about it through my daughter. Wasn't only adult agriculture people that were watching this. It was children of the age and their social media that were concerned about this. So that the word spread very fast in the younger adult generation as well of how this was turned around in a very positive method.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Zindu Zimmerman with AtWire.com. Please go ahead.
Yeah, J.D., just wanted to ask you, you mentioned your frustration with having to deal with stupid proposed regulations like what the Department of Transportation also had proposed. How much time is this taking out of your, you know, your schedule? I mean, I know you're busy as president anyway of NCBA, but also, you know, you're talking about farmers and ranchers having to take time out of their work day to work on sending in comments and talking to their congressmen and dealing with these kinds of issues, even though we finally get them taken care of. It must take a lot of your time to have to deal with this stuff.
By all means, and this is what is extremely frustrating. I would say most agriculture, cattle people, farmers, ranchers, what have you, really are have productivity, efficiency, and everything in mind, because every minute of what we do is really to produce something and generate something. And when we have to sit back and fight regulation that is totally outrageous, unnecessary, it takes away from us being productive. You know, this is, once again, I'm going to do a little plug here, but this is why you need to belong to your professional cattle association, such as NCBA, because we are watching these things day in and day out. We've got people there that are looking out for this. Not everybody can go to Washington, D.C. or their local state capital to fight for the betterment of their industry, but they can belong to an association or a membership group that can. And my saying from the get-go, from my presidency, has been, if you're not at the table, you're going to be on the menu. And it just proves to show you that you've got to have a seat at the table, otherwise you're going to be looked upon as sacrificing something. But in direct answer to your question, it takes a lot of time and effort that, in most ways, is really what we consider non-productive.
Well, again, thank you, everyone, for being on the call today. We will be sending out the audio. We'll have the audio, and if you would like the audio from the call, please let us know, and we can get that to you. And I hope you all have a great weekend.